We are working up a spiritual bouquet for the new bishop, Bishop Haiying. We will eventually have also hard copies and things that you can write down on what you're going to do. You should be thinking about that during the week. You can also go online. The Tridentine Mass Society of the Diocese of Madison has a website, and it's fairly easy to remember the address of it, latinmassmadison.org, latinmassmadison.org. And there's a way to use a form online to say what you're going to do. And you can also give this a little thought, what you want to do. We'll have this going for a couple weeks yet. We want to be able to give a beautiful spiritual bouquet to Bishop Haiying as he begins his ministry here among us. That's an important thing to do. Remember, we're all in this together. We have to pray for our priests and for our bishop. I would remind you of a project that I haven't talked about for a while, but that is to be inviting to people. Be inviting to people. Ask them to come to Mass with you, or ask them to come to go to confession with you. Maybe there is someone who has a hard time getting around, or is shut in, or is ill, or is in some way having difficulties, or you may know someone who needs what Holy Church has to give, but they haven't been going. I think we all know people like that. Be inviting to people. Never underestimate the power of an invitation. So many lives are changed simply because someone invited them to do something, to come along. Never underestimate the power of an invitation. Even if they decline, people generally appreciate being invited to things. It shows that you're interested in them, and people are always interested to know who's interested in them. We have hand missals, beautiful hand missals, available in the narthex. They'll be available after Holy Mass. I worked out something with Angelus Press, so that they gave us just a terrific price on these beautiful hand missals that have gold pages and ribbons and leather covers, and they're real precious items. And we have them in both Latin and English, and Latin and Spanish. So you should take a look at these and avail yourself of them. They're beautiful things, and they can be a real treasure for you, especially in your weekly preparation before Holy Mass. If you start looking at the readings a few days before and then review them a few days after, so much more of the riches what Christ wants to give you through Holy Church will come to you and be opened up to you. Today, the 7th of July, is a special anniversary for all of us who love the older rite, because today is the 12th anniversary of the day that Benedict XVI released the text of his Motu Proprio Summorum Pontificum, which I like to call the Emancipation Proclamation, frankly, because it gave us the ability to freely to celebrate the older form using the older books for virtually everything that we do. And we have a wonderful, good, well-established practice here in Madison. As a matter of fact, we can inspire others around the country. We do inspire others around the country, as a matter of fact. Just this week in our post office box, I received checks, donations from other parts of the country for what we're doing here. You realize that there are people all over the country that are hauling your weight. And on that note, because it's the first Sunday of the month, we will have a second collection after Holy Communion for the work of the Tridentine Mass Society of the Diocese of Madison. So you can make your checks out to the Tridentine Mass Society of the Diocese of Madison. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, we have today in our Gospel reading the most detailed of the accounts of the calling of St. Peter and the first other apostles. Not all the Gospels have all the details. Remember, the Gospels are not supposed to be hard and fast sterile history alone. They teach mysteries. They reveal things that happened. They don't always have the same details and so forth. But we have today the most detailed account of the calling of Peter. It's a very moving account because in Peter we can often see something of ourselves, especially in his great recognition of who Christ is and his declaration to Christ before everyone. You remember what happened here. You know, I mean, the dynamics of this are kind of interesting. Because the Lord is going along and he's teaching in these different places. And huge crowds are following him, and it's getting hard. You know, when big crowds are around you, it's very difficult to get your voice out past the initial people who are around you. You have to find a way to speak. And so our Lord today uses technology, shall we say, means of social communication. He uses technology to help him speak to a larger number of people. He gets into a boat, and they let him out from the shore a little bit, and then he can speak to more people who are standing on the shore than he could if he were just in this crowd. I like to think of this as the first example of online ministry, which I have tried to imitate ever since. In any event, the Lord has spoken to a great number of people. In the meantime, he is sitting in the boat of a professional fisherman who's probably trying to get his work done. He's been there all night with his business associates, these other men who eventually become apostles, and he has been out fishing all night long and has caught nothing. You imagine that he was in a wonderful mood, and then along comes this guy, and he gets into his boat that he wants to now clean after he cleans his nets. And then, after he's done talking to everybody, he says, okay, put your boat out again and go out a little farther and put your nets out. And, of course, a professional fisherman who's been out all night and probably very tired and still has a lot of work to do really wants to be told how to fish by some guy who just comes along and gets into his boat. But he does it humbly. He does it anyway. He does what the Lord asks him to do. And then there is this miraculous catch where he had caught nothing before. This time his net has brought up so much that it's about to sink two boats. And when they get into shore, Peter says two things. First, he calls Christ Lord, which is an important title. He's recognized that something, he is in the presence of something divine here. And so he calls Christ Lord. And then he says, I am a sinful man. Now, usually in scriptures, when we have an acknowledger calling someone as a sinner, you know, I am a sinner, or someone is a sinner, it suggests that maybe everybody knows that he's a sinner. We don't know what the sin is. There's no indication. He's a little headstrong and so forth. He rushes to conclusions and he gets himself into trouble here and there. We don't know exactly what it is, but he acknowledges himself publicly, professes himself to be a sinner. And then the Lord gives him the vocation for which he was born, and that is to be a priest, to be a fisher of men, to bring men into the net from his bark, from his boat. The Lord began that ministry, and it continues even to today. This is the reason why we call Holy Church the bark of Peter, Peter's boat that we are all in. And Peter is still the captain of this boat, even though the Lord is its king. Securely, Holy Church teaches us and guides us and will get us safely into port. Now, one of the things that we can take away from this, and this is something every time this reading comes up that I reflect on a lot, this the image of Peter pulling the net in and recognizing what's going on was the image that I chose for the holy card that I had done for my ordination way back when. It's a wonderful thing from a medieval manuscript. And it's this, Peter is in the boat and he's pulling the net up and you can see the fish in the water, and then the Lord is, you know, a little ways away, and Peter's eyes, you know, in this little miniature from this manuscript, Peter's eyes are fixed on the Lord, and they're almost like bugging out as he realizes what's going on here, who this must be. Well, one thing about that we can take away from this is the fact that God does not call perfect men. God does not call worthy men. He calls whom it pleases him to choose for his work. When Peter kneels down before the Lord and says, "I am a sinful man, Lord," Christ doesn't say, "Oh, there, you're not so bad." No. He just gives him his new vocation. He acknowledges in his silence about what Peter said that, yes, you're a sinner. God does not choose perfect men. He chooses those whom it pleases him to choose. And he uses them, deeply flawed, to bring good things out of even incompetence and sinfulness. Every single one of us has a calling from the Lord. And the point of the calling is what we hear St. Paul talking about, this, when he describes to the Romans this groaning that's within us, this groaning that's within creation itself, to be brought finally and handed over entirely to the Lord so that God can be all in all in our lives and in all of creation. Remember that Christ himself is the new creation. And so everything tends towards him. Everything goes to him. We long to be in that place. And this path that God has chosen for every one of us, he reveals to us in time. Sometimes it's through the advice or the invitations of other people. Never forget the power of an invitation. What did the Lord do when he called his apostles? He said, "Come and follow me." And they did. And the world was not the same thereafter. Never underestimate the power of an invitation. Each of us has this calling. It's revealed sometimes through the suggestions or the advice or the invitations of others. It's often revealed to us in our own inclinations and our own tendencies. Sometimes it's in the gifts. We find it manifested in the very gifts and talents that he gives us, each one of us a different set. All of these different factors, that and listening carefully, always being willing to listen to what it is you may be called to do. Now, some of you are well on the track of your vocation. You've been perhaps married for many, many years, or you are contemplating marriage, or you are young and you're thinking perhaps about a vocation to the priesthood or the religious life. Some of you have gotten to the ends of your marriages and are now a widow or widower. All of these different states in our life bring with it opportunities for tremendous grace, and your work is not yet done. In humility and obedience, we take on our vocations and we strive within them, understanding that we're not perfect. The Lord knows we're not perfect. We strive to polish and perfect, to improve ourselves with the help of elbow grease and of grace. But remember that the Lord, and especially I say this about the ministers of Holy Church, God does not choose those who are perfect. Lord knows that's been obvious in the last, since the beginning. but particularly right now. And he crowns whatever thing that we do that's meritorious in us. It's all the Lord's doing. Sometimes when I think about vocations and I think about what our, you know, what we're called to do, I try to put it this way. That everything that we do, that we set our hands to, our hands themselves are too weak. But we put our hands to the task, and Christ puts his hands over our hands and makes them stronger for the task that we are about. So that it truly is something that we do, but it's also something that he is doing. This is what we mean by that phrase, that Christ crowns his own merits in us and what we do. St. Augustine of Hippo explains that Christ crowns his own merits in us. We ourselves, we do nothing without him. With him, we can accomplish much. He gives us the work. He gives us the desire. He makes our hands strong for it. He brings it to completion. The works are truly ours, but they are truly his, and they are his merits. His merits make them meritorious for us in our doing of them. So on this Sunday, and for perhaps the rest of the week, I'm going to ask you to say a prayer for your, in a special way, for the new bishop of the diocese, and to pray for priests, especially young ones who are encountering a tossing deck of the ship of Peter these days. Some of us older guys have been through some of this stuff before, but some of these newer guys haven't seen anything like this. They've had a kind of a stable deck for years that they grew up in, and calm seas. Now storms are here. And so pray for them. Pray for priests. Pray for that they will, unworthy as they are, strive after the example of our Lord and the saints with the help of Mary, our dear mother, the Queen of Clergy, Mother of Priests. Pray for your priests. Pray for your priests. We need your prayers. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.